May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So we continue this morning with our sermon series, The Year of the Bible. Just to recap, the story in the books of Moses, Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, brought us to the end of the 40-year-long journey of the Jewish nation through the desert of the Sinai Peninsula. While in the desert, the Israelites were renewed spiritually and strengthened in their faith in God. They had spent 40 years of testing and training for living as a free people under God's guidance and blessing. It was now time for their descendants to inherit the land which God had promised to their righteous ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The book of Joshua tells us of how the Jews, led by Joshua, a disciple of Moses, conquered the promised land with God's help. God made it possible for them to capture city after city until the land was finally divided up between the tribes. At times, this help took the form of miracles, as in the crossing of the Jordan, the collapse of the walls of Jericho, and when the sun stood still to help the Israelites in their victory over the Amorites. Joshua is the first of what we know as the 12 historical books of the Bible, ending with Esther. But this is history, not as scholars would write it, but written always in connection with how people encounter and experience God. God was alive, always and everywhere, working his will, challenging people with his call, evoking faith and obedience, shaping a worshipping community, showing his love and compassion, and working out judgments on sin. This is history, but at particular times, in specific places, with named persons. Before I get to the key words which we need to focus on today, I'd like to begin with a little story connected with my days as a secondary school teacher in Crawley. One year, I had a particularly difficult Year 8 class for the last lesson on a Friday afternoon. These children weren't at all interested in finding out how to talk about their families in German. They just wanted to get it over with so they could enjoy their weekend, as did I, if I'm honest. Each week I tried to work out a strategy, a sort of battle plan, it did feel like that, which might work, but it never did. One week I decided to give up and leave it all to God. I should have done this much earlier. On that morning I prayed for each child and then asked for God's help to make the lesson go well. I really felt him telling me just to relax. Well, the difference was amazing. Because I'd handed it all over to him, things somehow worked out so much better, and the lesson became more enjoyable for us all. I certainly learnt a lesson myself that day, which brings me to the key words for this morning: trust and obey. The Lord has a battle plan which works, even though it may not make sense to us. Hand it over to him, then do as he says. Trust and obey. Now, Joshua was a brilliant military leader and a strong spiritual influence, but the key to his success was his submission to God. Joshua obeyed God, and the people obeyed Joshua, until they themselves acquired a deep faith in the power and benevolence of God. This book is about obedience. Whether conquering enemies or settling the land, God's people were required to do it God's way. Joshua underscored the importance of obedience to God in his final message to the people. So be very careful to love the Lord your God, and choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Sometimes the Lord's battle plan doesn't seem to make sense, though, does it? Here were Joshua and the Israelites having crossed the Jordan River in a similar miracle to the parting of the Red Sea 40 years earlier, and now coming face to face with their destiny, with conquering the Promised Land. And the first city that stood in their way was Jericho. Jericho was the greatest walled fortress of all time, with walls several feet thick. It seemed impregnable. However, whilst Joshua was pondering battle strategies of how to take this city, there was a dramatic and unexpected appearance of a mysterious man with a drawn sword in combat readiness. Whose side was he on? He said he was the commander of the army of the Lord. Joshua recognized him as Yahweh himself. Perhaps we would have recognized the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. And Joshua fell down in worship before him. He started by looking at the problem, those insurmountable walls. But now he was face to face with God, and he was now looking in the right direction. Looking at the walls led to fear. Looking at God led him to faith. Why did the God of Israel make a personal visit to Joshua? To give him his battle plan for taking the city of Jericho. This plan was very simple. God would do everything if they would just obey him and march round the city as he asked. This plan must have puzzled Joshua. How could marching, blowing a few horns and shouting possibly bring down these thick walls? The answer is that it couldn't and it didn't. But because Joshua trusted and obeyed, God himself destroyed the walls. A lesson for us too. We too need to take our eyes off the problems we face and fix them on the Lord. We remember in the New Testament, Peter walked on the water as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But when he started looking down at the storm, he began to sink. Some people spend their whole lives gazing up at the walls of their Jericho, saying, "Can't be done, it can't be done." Each of us has a walled city in our lives, a place of hopeless defeat we don't think we can conquer. We might ask ourselves, what is your Jericho? Perhaps it's some sin that seems to haunt you and you can't seem to get the victory. The devil uses it on you time after time because it works so well with you. For others, it might be an unhealthy attitude. Maybe you were genuinely wronged by someone and the bitterness is eating away at you. You can't seem to let go of that grudge. Maybe it's an unhappy relationship, a lack of education, a lack of motivation, a lack of confidence, or poor health or shortage of money. The list goes on. God wants us to fix our gaze on him and not on our problems. He will come up with the most unexpected answers to our difficulties if we will just let go and let God, obeying and trusting him for all our needs. We too can expect miracles. Much of what the Bible says is contrary to human logic and reasoning. It's not our job to understand it all. It's our job to be obedient. We don't have to understand God's commands in order to trust him and obey them. Too many of us say we have to understand in order to obey. But as Joshua found out, it's the other way round. We won't understand until we obey. As the Israelites marched round the city day after day, their faith and perseverance was being tested. But they didn't give up. We must do likewise. God's delays aren't necessarily denials. He doesn't work to our timetable, but we can trust him to bring down all our walls, and we must never give up. We need to see the problem through God's eyes and trust that he is working it out for us, even when we see no immediate results. In the reading we had today, God said this to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men." God could see the completed plan even before he communicated his battle strategy to Joshua. So when we pray, we need to act in faith, as though the prayer has already been answered, and watch as God works it all out on our behalf. Faith trusts totally in the Lord's battle plan, because it is superior. While we try to make sense of every little problem in our lives, God has his eye on the bigger problem, sin. For example, everything went well for the Israelites until one man, Achan, disobeyed God and fell into sin. It wasn't until he confessed and repented that they were able finally to conquer the city of Ai. And God's plan that the inhabitants of the cities of Canaan should be annihilated sounds brutal and horrific to us. But he wanted to eliminate the corruption and evil practices of these people for the same reasons that he sent the flood. God's holy people must not be corrupted by living amongst evildoers. God's final battle plan against sin was very simple. One person would exchange his perfect life for the sins of the whole world. In the New Testament, we see his plan come to fruition. His plan is completed. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. The first two are done. The third is as good as done in God's eyes. It is a completed plan. The victory is won. There's nothing more we need to do. There's nothing more we need to worry about. If God is for us, who can be against us? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I love this passage from Paul's letter to the Romans and remind myself of its reassuring words whenever I feel a bit wobbly. By the end of this year of the Bible, we will have read every book of the Old and New Testaments and will have seen example after example of this assured victory. We are God's New Testament people. We have a promised land that we're waiting to enter, heaven. And we know that we will get there because we have a God who is guiding us. We have a God who is changing us and using us as long as we trust and obey. Joshua demonstrated his faith in God as he took up the challenge to lead the nation. The Israelites reaffirmed their commitment to God by obediently setting out across the Jordan to possess the land. As we live the Christian life, we need to cross over from the old life to the new, put off our selfish desires, and press on to possess all that God has planned for us. Like Joshua and Israel, we need courageous faith to live the new life. We can trust the Lord's battle plan because it is superior, because it is completed. Through Jesus, victory over sin and death is won. We need to commit to memory God's reassuring words to Joshua as he set out on his mission. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Amen.